You see, drinking is really a matter of algebraic ratios. How drunk you get is dependent on how much alcohol you consume in relation to your total body weight. You see my point? It's not that you had a lot to drink. It's just you're too skinny.
TBTL!
What we are dealing with here is a perfect engine. An eating machine. It's really a miracle of evolution.
Am I cool, kids?
No.
Good, I'm glad. And that's what makes me cool. Not caring, right?
No.
Well, how the hell do you be cool?
We're the number one show in hospitals and on sinking riverboat casinos.
But don't you see that this is all mouth? This is mouth.
Sup, guys? Heard the new rap CD?
Yo, I don't know what I dig more. Hip-hop, crunk, or serving my country.
TBTL.
Where's the dog? She might still be sleeping. I don't know. Hi, everybody. Welcome to a Thursday morning edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
How do we have this? Like, nobody made this.
Question number one, how do we have this? Question number two, why did I cut off the end of that beautiful audio drum?
How do we have this? Like, nobody made this.
Hi, everybody. My name's Luke. I'm your host.
I like turtles.
Coming to you from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill, in Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City. I said Thursday morning edition of the show. Only barely, by the way. It's like 11:34 in the a.m. It's not like we're doing the show at 7, but I am like, I feel that combination of giddiness and tiredness that comes when you're up at the crack of 11:34 trying to do a podcast. Apparently, I was so excited to play some of this Boston Red Sox banner. I'm not going to say banner thieves. I do believe they found that 2018 American League East champions banner in the road. Near Somerville. I believe that is actually what happened. I was all excited to play the audio of them, and then I got a little behind in my planning. And I tried to whip together an audio cut, and of course I blew it.
How do we have this? Like, nobody made this.
Nobody made this. Hopefully that's just the one mess up that's going to happen here on episode 2732 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
Because we got a lot to talk about, a lot to get to. It's a Thursday, so that means we got some Blursday messages. We got a lot of Blursday messages, apparently.
It's my birthday today.
So we'll wish a happy Blur's Day to everybody out there in listener land. Also, internet rumors yesterday that the band Maroon 5, is going to play the halftime show at the Super Bowl.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
But next year's Super Bowl is going to be in Atlanta, in Hotlanta. And a lot of people are like, really? Atlanta is where Outkast is from, Future, Ludacris, The Handsome Stranger, Usher, just to name a few. You got to go with Maroon 5. And so now it's unclear if it's actually going to be Maroon 5 or not. So we'll talk about Super Bowl halftime entertainment. And we'll talk about all that with the longest-running co-brogan of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace, and their splendor. We're doing the show on the early side here, on a Thursday morning, because this co-bro needs to get the show recorded early. He needs to get to the gym to work out. He's got some GTL to do. And then that's not a drug, by the way. That's gym tan laundry. It's just been so long since Jersey Shore was a thing. Felt like I needed to clarify. He's got to get to the gym. And then he's got to get to the grocery store. He's got to buy all kinds of snacks because he's putting together a big old football watching party because beloved Cleveland Browns are playing on Thursday Night Football tonight. So he's got the rest of his day planned out. He's Andrew.
Go Browns.
Walsh. And he joins us now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Hello, my dude.
Big day. Feels like the Super Bowl for some reason.
Funny. I know. It's usually, okay, we almost always dial up late, and that's 99.9% of the time. That's on me. I say, let's dial up at 1 in the afternoon, and then I do 10 other things, and then I'm texting you or emailing you at about 1:40 going, does 4 o'clock work as a dial-up time? And then sometimes I am ready to go relatively on time, and maybe you're putting some audio together, Today was one of those rare times where we said we would dial at 11. I'm sitting there looking for some last-minute story ideas. It's 11:09, and you're like, I'm ready to go when you are. And it's like, it's you, my friend, you are excited about this this day and this football night.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Luke, think about it. It's everything that football lovers love. It's Thursday night football. It's the Cleveland Browns. It's the New York Jets. It's everything. It's like the premier game. I'm sure, like, across the country, people have had this circled on their calendars since the schedule came out.
Can Sam Darnold and the Jets defeat Myles Garrett and the Browns?
And we're going to put them in pajamas and call it a color rush. I hope they're not still doing that. Well, we don't have to do football talk. But, yeah, I've been looking forward to this. I think it's going to be an absolute garbage game. I'm hoping the Browns win. But, you know, if you like football, you know that I've had a lot of content lately that has made me very happy, because you had your Sunday football game with the Browns, your Monday football game with the Seahawks. Then I merely had to wait 3 days for Thursday to roll around, and another game that's important to me is on. And then there will be another one Sunday. So I think it's telling some folks, you know, trying to make plans for a watch. We have a pretty big Browns watching contingent these days. And so people are like, are we going to the Westie, my neighborhood Browns bar, for Thursday night football? But I figured, you know what? I mean, it's right around the corner from my house. If people are going to travel to the Westie, why don't we just do it at my house? So I'm going to go get some snacks. Actually, maybe you could help me with this. Is there? Oh, yeah. Here he comes.
DFTB going to make an appearance?
You know, we have a longer one we could use if you're interested.
That's all right.
If you're interested, just block out. We'll never get to top stories. how ironic that we were just reading tips for how to stay slim at a football party on from CNN last week. I actually do need some advice on football snacks. Usually, I have a go-to thing, but I'm having a real moment of self-realization today.
Okay, that's
no
fine.
Joke when it comes
it's
to
it's not advice. It's sharing information from the heart and the spiritual level.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, good.
I want to preface what I'm about to tell you. I'm not going to give you advice here. I'm going to be sharing information from the heart on a spiritual level.
Here's the moment of truth that I came to today as I'm thinking about what snacks to present to my guests tonight. Because obviously this is not my first rodeo. We do this several times a season, have people over a bunch of times a season. But the thing that I was thinking about today is, as I'm making my snack list, is this what other people want, or is this what I want? Because I always kind of do the same exact thing, which is stuff that is in my wheelhouse and stuff that I want to eat. Often that is like kind of pre-made frozen buffalo wings, which are never that good. I don't want to make – they're not hard to make homemade, but like on a football day, I want to be watching football. So I'm just looking for stuff that I can throw in the oven, make it quickly, set it out for everybody, and then I can pay attention. So I am almost always going with like chicken wings that I've made, you know, from the freezer, and like meatballs with a bunch of different sauces. Again, frozen meatballs, just heat them up for a half hour or whatever. And I was like putting that on the grocery list today. I was like, I don't know, man. Those meatballs get cold pretty quickly. Then everybody's just sitting around, and I'm eating all the meatballs. I got this picture in my head that made me really sad. And then I started thinking, well, crudité, like, that's always good. I like to have vegetables on hand, but I don't know. And then
I was transported here against my will in a meatball.
Well, here's what I'm landing on, and this is – I'm making it unusually complicated or unnecessarily complicated, but I'm thinking about going to Papa Murphy's. But I've never done that before, and now I'm nervous about the Papa Murphy's ordering situation.
Oh, don't be.
Don't be. I tried to order online. I wasn't sure if they were asking me if I wanted extra mozzarella or if I just want the regular amount of mozzarella, and if I leave it blank, will I get a pizza without any cheese on it? And then I just turned off my phone and cried for a while.
I understand that you – like, okay, a couple things. It's hard for me to separate out my personal snacking vibe from what you're – from. In other words, you're saying part of the problem is you've been stocking these football watching parties up with food that you personally would like to eat. You're wondering if it's what everybody else would like to eat. When I give you my opinion, of course, it's just my opinion on what I would personally like to eat. So I would potentially suffer from the same issue.
Sure.
To me, I said this the other day on the show. I'm not a Buffalo Wing fan.
Yeah.
So a for like if you buy some like I don't of all like for me the top of the thing I would like to eat while watching just about any event, be it sporting or otherwise, it could even be some American Greed, which man, I just dove right back into the American Greed, which is this like quasi documentary show narrated by Stacy Keach, just about people who pulled off scams.
Oh, I don't know about it.
I used to kind of watch it when it would be on. It's sort of like I would alternate between that and Forensic Files in the hotel room. And then I forgot about it. And then for some reason yesterday, I was like, I wonder if that show's still on. And I have like 30 of them on demand. I'm just like, yes. I'm greedy about the show American Greed. It's like so hokey and dumb, but I just love it. It's always about, you know, some CPA who is swindling all her friends in Orange County, California, and living a lavish lifestyle with her Arabian horses while she was doing wrong by her, you know, her accounting practice. Anyway, so whether I'm watching American Greed, narrated by Stacy Keach, or whether I'm watching the Cleveland Browns decimate the Jets tonight, I would like to be eating pizza. I love pizza. And so when you say like, so that would be the top of the list for me. Like if I showed up at a party and there was a bunch of pizza to eat, I'd be like, yes. If I showed up and there was a bunch of heated up meatballs that were not, that were frozen meatballs at some point, that is not a thing that I, although ironically, those are much more on the low carb grind. But like for meatballs that were bought pre, like they were frozen and now you've unfrozen them and now they're sitting in a bowl, those do not seem very appetizing to me, nor do buffalo chicken wings that were also frozen and have been heated up. That just doesn't strike me as very tasty, but that might just be my inclination. Here are things I do like: a multi-level bean dip. Some tortilla chips and some kind of bean dip that's got, you know, I know you're not a cheese head, but like
Bean dip is where's your buzzer sound? Where's my buzzer sound?
I've got something here. I can do this.
There we go.
Okay, but that's, again, that's for you. That's a YP, not an MP.
But that's the thing. Like, I don't think that – I think that I should be able to serve –
What's courageous about eating a hot dog?
First of all, I mean, bean dip, that sounds like something that you would make. Like, I'm not going to make a bean dip.
No,
like,
no, see, but here's the point. Bean dip suffers less from being from the store than pre-made meatballs or pre-made buffalo chicken products, because you can go into the deli at Hagen or Safeway or wherever, and they'll have – it's got refried beans – it's got a layer of cheese. There's probably some jalapeno worked in there. God, if only we had a jalapeno sound effect on this show.
I do.
And that, thank you. God, you're always
right
at
there.
The ready.
Jalapeno!
And like that multi-layer bean dip will be tasty and fine, even though it was pre-made. It's something, I think it stands up to being pre-made better than something that's like a piece of chicken that's got all these elements to it that like if the skin gets rubbery on the chicken, or it's just not – the flavors aren't right. It's been reheated. It hasn't been – like what makes a chicken wing good is it's been fried right before you had it. Like somebody deep fried it and then put on a plate, brought it out to you. If it's just been warmed in the oven, is it going to have that same feeling to it? I mean, the other question to ask yourself is when you're cleaning up your football watching parties, what is there a lot left over of? And maybe the answer is nothing, because you just start grazing and you personally decimate the pile of meatballs. But if you weren't eating the leftovers at the end of the night, what would there be the most left over of?
Yeah, I've never run into a leftover issue unless somebody brings something sweet, because I feel like sweets are often left over. But yeah, I mean, this is definitely where it's getting down to. I mean, maybe if you took an internet poll or even just a telephone poll, maybe if you actually, you know, I don't know, called 1,000 families in the United States, margin of error, let's say plus or minus 5 points, maybe more people would agree with you. But here's the deal. Like, yeah, the idea of if I went to a party and there was a bunch of nothing but like dips and bean dips and stuff, I would be devastated. So, you know, it is a matter of taste to a degree.
I just think you come from a very Midwest meat-centric upbringing. You talked about it yesterday, eating
isn't
a half
that
of a summer
classic
sausage.
Football, though? Like, I mean, isn't
not
there
where
a good
I come
tradition
from.
Of, like, the Midwest football parties?
Well, if you're saying do the – are you? I guess if you're saying is the provenance, is the pedigree – of your football party legit because you're from the Midwest. In other words, Midwesterners know from football parties. Therefore, Midwesterners eating a bunch of summer sausage during the watching of football or a pile of meatballs, they come by this information honestly. I mean, sure. But you need to adapt to the fact that you're in the Northwest. You need there to be a soy option. Hey, by the way, to whoever got at me on that soy option thing on Twitter saying it makes perfect sense, I'm talking about this TV commercial for Buffalo Wild Wing and WEC where a guy is army crawling out of the auditorium at his teacher job because he doesn't want to be there because the principal is announcing that there will be a soy option next year for the lunchroom. I said that was – they made that up because they couldn't say vegetarian option because they didn't want to hurt people's feelings and they didn't want to like – they didn't want to say gluten-free option because they didn't want to get on the wrong side of the celiac community. Somebody got on Twitter and said soy option would work. It's like you could have that instead of meat. I mean, yes, I understand that. That's not the point. The point is there's no way that soy option was their first choice because it's not as easy to understand as saying there will be a gluten-free option. They wanted to say – they wanted to make a joke about people being – somewhat persnickety about their dietary restrictions, but they didn't want to offend anyone, so they went with soy option.
You are not open to discussion for today. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I feel like you are very going back to my food thing. I think there's some gray areas there. You are now going from the you're turning opinions into facts, I think, a little bit here. And like, you know, you going on about like what is proper football. I mean, I brought it up. I asked and
I'm
I appreciate
not saying
your
you're
input,
improper.
But your insistence that it's kind of a binary right or wrong thing, I kind of disagree with as far as the bean dip is concerned.
I think here's
the bigger question, though. Here's the deal. This is a question – I think this came up in my family one time. I may be making this up, but let's just go for it. Let's call it like an allegory. I think when I was younger, let's say my sister is like 15 or 16, and she's at that age where she is making friends, and, you know, it's kind of – you want to impress your friends. And I think she was having friends over, and it was Lent. And we were a Catholic family. And the question was, if you order a pizza, does her, you know, other high school or tween friends, do they have to abide by our Lenten rituals in our house? Or can we get a meat pizza for the people who aren't Catholic, right? Now, I believe, and again, there's a real chance.
You guys are getting, you're probably getting a fish pizza or something.
Right. It's actually in the shape of fish. It's great. It's like they call it the loaves and the fishes deal at Pizza Hut. It's only in the Midwest and Catholic communities. And the pizza comes in the shape of a fish. And it's dough, sauce, cheese, and then a big dead fish right on top of it. And you just cut it up.
Sometimes you got to stop and smell the pizza.
No, anyway, I remember, I think my dad was like, no, this is our house. And, you know, when people come over.
Ted Williams.
Perfect. you know, when people come over, this is our house, and we're observing Lent, and, you know, and that means people visiting. So in this case,
I agree with your
also,
dad 100% on that, by the way.
So in this case, I am observing non-bean dip. I want to serve things that everybody likes, but that I also want to eat and won't be grossed out cleaning up later. We need to find something that, because bean dip.
So actually cleaning up a bean dip that had cheese involved in it would actually kind of, it wouldn't just be something you wouldn't want to eat. It would actually be gross to you to clean it up.
Is there also like a sour cream element to that? I always just pictured it as just a big
on your
mess
better,
of gross
on,
stuff.
On your better dips, yes, yeah. You will be.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've gotten ideally, a lot better about that, but I'm not going to be at the kitchen sink choking. But yeah, if I'm doing all the dishes and there's like, you know, I'm trying to clean out something that was just like tons of like those white, gross looking dips that I know most people like, or cheese and all this stuff. I'm cleaning up other people's like foods that I don't like. It's less appealing than cleaning up, let's say, you know, a food that I would enjoy eating.
Well, this whole thing started with you asking the question, are you preparing, are you purchasing and preparing and proffering? I know that's a lot of peas, dude.
Mm-hmm.
The foods for this football game, and by the way, I spelled football PHOOTBALL. So
even more.
The question was: Are you Are you stocking this football game watching party with foods that you like or with foods that the people visiting might like? And you were just wondering, is the dial tilted a little bit too much over towards Andrew foods? And all I was saying was maybe a combination of – so like – and you retain the right to say this is my party. Genevieve and I are paying for this food. We are preparing this food. It's going to be stuff that you want to eat. But I will tell you that you are – if you don't like cheese and you don't like sour cream, you are outside, I think, the majority of people in this country. So I was just letting you know that. I wasn't saying you're doing it wrong. I was just saying if I showed up at a party and there was – it was all heavily meat-based and I was – let's say I was having a cheat day and I was like, I'm just going to eat whatevs. Pizza would be a great option. Nachos would be a great option. This really comes down, though, between you and me, too. Like, I like cheese on things and you don't. But if you have a couple things like that, I think you'll be covered.
Now, I think
and the other thing is don't be afraid of Papa Murphy's. They're very friendly.
That's what I'm
going to
do.
I like them.
I'm going to call. I was ordering online and I got a little nervous. I mean, I don't think I'm alone there. I think I am in line with most Americans when I say I got nervous trying to order a pizza online. So at least I'm in the mainstream there. But I think I'm going to call them up later. I'm going to order. I think there's about 8 or 9 of us going to be here. I'm going to order 3 pizzas because I do strongly believe that in a football situation like this or almost any situation, I would much rather have extras at the end of the night than not. I just like the idea of, well, I guess I like the idea of gluttony. I just like the idea of we have so much beer and food that nobody ever has to worry about taking the last whatever. So
that's no. And pizza definitely holds up. Like
yeah.
You could have some pizza the next day. That's another thing to think about. Like, for instance, this is actually an argument against the bean dip, which I don't think is even, let's be honest, on the table.
It's not
for you right now.
It's like, under the table and dreaming.
easy DMB. I think that, yeah, pizza, like the thing is you can always, the pizza will be delicious the next day. There are certain things that just don't really hold up the next day anyway. So that's another reason to not do them. And then the last thing I'll say here, and I'm not trying to fire in with all these fire takes today, but maybe because we're recording the show in the morning, maybe because I've had 7 cups of coffee, maybe because I'm finally feeling awake. You know, I've been groggy. I've been lethargic the last 4 days. I'm now all of a sudden I've got the energy of 10 men. The one thing I will say is you mentioned that something that tends to be left over is sweet stuff.
Yeah, I don't buy the sweet stuff. Veeves buys the sweet stuff.
Oh, well, okay. She won't hear this. I hope anyway she won't hear this. But I don't feel like sweet stuff is really – I don't think people really want that at a football watching party. I think football watching is usually or even just being at the party, whether or not you care about the game, it's about salty things. It's about beer. I can't imagine a world in which I'm just like, oh, my God, it's 4th and 3 from the 8-yard line. Where are the gummy worms?
Yeah.
Like, sweet stuff does not – I don't know why. Maybe this is just me. Sweet stuff doesn't go with football watching in my mind.
Yeah, me too. I think that is definitely something that, again, it's I think Genevieve is – usually it's like cookies or cupcakes. She'll go to the store and get one of those things of kind of like, you know, kind of cheapo, but – but also they trigger the pleasure center kind of cookies or cupcakes from the grocery store and have those out. And at a certain time of the game, maybe 4th quarter, she'll break those bad boys out. It's kind of a dessert to the meatballs and wings. We're running a health clinic over here is what I'm saying. But yeah, I do feel like those are usually left over because I don't mess with that stuff, certainly. I think some people might enjoy it. But again, you know, it's that's Veeves' prerogative. And so and I have no problem cleaning up after that. So anyway, I think we're going to go Papa John's. Maybe I'll get Genevieve some of her cookies.
Wait, no. Papa Murphy's.
I'm sorry.
Don't
Papa Murphy's, not
one.
Papa John's.
And it's a big difference. You go to Papa John's. John Schnatter is just going to be drunk off his patootie.
He's just going to be screaming epithets.
He's going to be outside the store where he's no longer allowed to even enter. He's going to be like, I came up with better ingredients for the pizza. That's going to be a whole scene.
Oh, my God.
Now, you're right to be nervous about the Papa Murphy's experience because, of course, it's take and bake.
Yeah.
So that's a whole different system, but I found them to be extremely nice. They walk you through the process. It's painless. And it's pretty good pizza, honestly.
Good.
I really
looking
like it.
Forward to it. Yeah, I don't think I've ever – the only time I've ever had it was Hell Pizza Day, but that was a very different when you and I tried the and Radkey and the Mummy and
is that did we get that from Papa Murphy?
Yeah, it was a Papa Murphy's thing.
Oh, funny!
But you brought them
now.
And, yeah,
you've now. I'll tell you what, though, Walsh, because the Cleveland Browns are. I have a rooting interest for them. I want them to do well because I want you to be happy. I want my brother DFTB to be happy, and I think they're kind of a cool story. But I'm you know. Like, for me, them playing on Thursday night is not the same as the Seahawks playing on Thursday night. But now all this talk of snacking and a football watching mm-hmm. event, you got me thinking I'm going to probably have to do something up here. It'll just be me and Carrie for 10 minutes. She'll walk in and she'll go, yeah, okay, I've got other things to do. But the dog will be in there. The dog will be mm-hmm. really psyched because there'll be food around. So now I'm going to – but then here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go on my jog later today. And then I'm going to be in a battle with myself over, is this going to be healthy football watching? So is this going to be all veggies, which just doesn't really feel like the same thing? Or is this going to be like, am I going to go down to my local Papa Murphy's and just, am I just going to be like, screw it, it's football o'clock somewhere.
Yeah, it's almost like you're going to have a satellite party. Like, I'll send you the menu, you do the same thing, only like a fraction of the order. And I'll let you know, and then we'll FaceTime during the whole thing, and it'll be kind of like that you'll be like our northern branch of the football party.
Cool.
And of course you're welcome down here. I assume that you can't make it down here.
I'm tempted. It actually sounds very fun. I don't know. Well, I'll think on it.
If I made bean dip or brought bean dip, is that what's gonna happen?
That would be so sweet. That would be really touching. If now that I know that you not only do not like the sight or the taste of the bean and cheese dip, but the cleaning up of the bean dip is hard for you. If I knew all of that, and then you still did it just to get me down there, that would be very sweet. Anyway, I will consider it. What we will do right now is we will go to a break because we're long overdue. Then we will come back. We'll talk about Maroon 5 playing the Super Bowl halftime show. We'll do some Blur's Day messages. And then we'll get to the real important part of the day, which is stocking up on food for football watching tonight. Don't go anywhere. This is TBTL.
No. Oh no. I thought that I just typed in the word snacks into Spotify thinking I could find some good snack related songs. And this is a song called Scooby Snacks by Fun Lovin' Criminals, which for some reason
the Fun Lovin' Criminals, sure I know about them.
I thought that this might have been
Everybody
one of,
be cool, this is a robbery.
I thought it might have been one of the songs that I know, but I don't know this song, and I don't want to listen to any more of it. So, welcome back.
I was going to say you could come in with Satellite by the Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'll be running a satellite operation up here. Or I was thinking.
And also, didn't I just make a Under the Table and Dreaming joke? I mean, I had to do that. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Just, okay. Three.
If I remember right. Yep.
One.
And go. Ah, a little Satellite by Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah, I just thought because like I made a Under the Table and Dreaming joke, and you're kind of like the satellite operation up there. It just seemed like really perfect to what we were
I was going to suggest you come in with Recovering the Satellites by Counting Crows, but this is...
Oh, okay. Well, here, let's just... I can just do that. That's actually a really good idea. Right. Okay. So just give me 1 second, and then...
Sure. I got time. Okay. We'll kind of come in here. We'll edit out the other stuff.
Yeah, that sounds good. Let's see here. Wait, is that an album? It's not even a song?
Recovering... It is, but there's also a song called Recovering the Satellites.
Okay, in 3, 2, and...
Oh, man, Recovering the Satellites.
You know why?
Counting Crows.
Yes, you recognize it. Of course you recognize it. You love this band. I was thinking because you're kind of like up there, like our satellite party we were talking, you know, our football party.
So I was actually going to suggest Satellite of Love by Lou Reed.
Oh, that's a good idea. Would you mind actually giving me one?
Oh, sure. No, we'll just leave a little space, and then I'll let you just edit right to that point.
Okay, because that's a better idea. I'd like to do this. Here we go.
Satellite's gone up to the skies. Like that
oh man, dude! Satellite of Love. Lou
yes,
Reed. This
Lou
is
Reed.
Good.
I thought this would be good because I was just reading the newspaper, and I just had reading on my mind.
How great would it be if every single time we came back with a song, we had actually done 11 songs? And just worked our way up to the final.
I would have kept going with this as long as you had the stomach and imagination for it, just so you know.
I think it was going to – I think we were, it was the exact right amount because my next one was going to be a song called Satellite Heart by Anya Marina from the Twilight movie soundtrack.
Oh, you're just – now even, you're just
I don't even
Googling.
Know. It's just word – yeah, exactly. It's just songs that are for some reason in my iTunes that reference satellites.
All right. Well, I think we nailed it. I think we got there eventually.
Everybody.
But that's how that's how it works. People want to know like what goes into making a podcast. You just got a little taste of it.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Behind the Curtain special of TBTL. And you know what? We're going to thank the donors of the day right now. This, of course, happening over the song Satellite Heart by Anya Marina.
There's. Does that sound distorted again, or is that how it's supposed to be? I know I'm obsessed with this.
Sounds.
What a pity.
All right, let's just do this. It does sound a little distorted, but I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
It must be something in. It's got to be in the digital file somewhere because nothing on the computer, or nothing on the soundboard is different. You know what I'm talking about?
Like, yeah, because what's in that now? We're really. But, you know, the reason I'm stopping you or why I asked that was because we have something similar going on with the
K-Dude song.
K-Dude song for the No Point Conversion. And the interesting thing about this, I'm sorry that I'm doing this to the show, but the whole thing is not distorted. It is driving me crazy, especially with K-Dude. Now, I've heard it on another track you're playing where somehow the music in the background sounds distorted. In the K-Dude song, it's the bass. Then the vocals come in and they're fine. And that boggles my mind grapes. That does not make any sense given what I know about audio.
I am with you. I don't have any.
So
I'm looking at the setup on my soundboard, and I don't have any explanation.
Anyway, well, I'm sorry for stopping the show. I just had to ask if you were hearing that too.
I was hearing it. Let's try something else. We'll thank the donors of the days of the day over. Oh man, I just have something called Satellite Edit. I wonder what this is for. Dave Matthews Band.
It's a lifetime commitment.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. It's your crows.
All right, we'll do this one.
Do it.
Yeah, it is. What up, Adam Duritz? Saddam Duritz? Oh, man.
He called our listener line.
I want to apologize to the donors of the day for making a Saddam Duritz reference. Donors of the day, these are the people making today's episode possible because they donated during the most recent TBTL-a-thon. Thank you so much to them. Talking about Greg Yancey of Blackfoot, Idaho.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You got yourself some Blackfoot.
Blackfoot, Idaho is where Greg Yancey lives. Mario Alonzo of Miami, Florida. Sheila Reeks of Ithaca, New York. What up, Sheila? I think Sheila's the one that goes way back with Dave Ross.
Oh, yeah.
If I remember right. Chelsea Shriver of Vancouver, British Columbia. I can almost see Chelsea from here.
Mm.
I think I can see. I do think we can actually see British Columbia from our house, not to get all Sarah Palin on it. But I do believe that's true. And then John Zander of Olympia, Washington, the gateway to Lacey. John, Chelsea, Sheila, Mario, and Greg, thank you for making TBTL possible. Thank you for donating during the TBTL-a-thon. Thanks for not just figuring somebody else would do it, because it turns out it's all hands on deck around here. The only way we're able to bring you this kind of well-researched, tightly produced football snack-related content is with a whole team of people we don't talk about usually behind the scenes, just feeding Andrew and I topics and dazzling details. And those people are not cheap. Is one of those people a yellow lab who's looking at me right now? Possibly. But this only happens because of the donations from the listeners. It's the only way we can do the show. So thank you for making today's episode possible, episode 2732 in a collector series. We really would not be here without all of y'all. We only stay in orbit for a moment of time. Andrew, think about it.
Moment of time.
Do you have a band like this?
I think almost all of my bands are like this. You mean something cheesy that you love?
I give you kind of a hard time about your Donovan love and things like that, but I can understand a certain kind of person digging Donovan, and you can even make the argument. Like, for instance, Donovan could very much show up on a Wes Anderson soundtrack. He loves that kind of British music from that era. There's nothing cool about this music. There's nothing self-aware. Everybody really knows for sure that you're gonna come down. When are you gonna come down? Like, there's nothing self-aware about this music, and yet I love this song so much. Unironically, love this song. And yet, my brain is, because of insecurity, wired to want to, like, constantly take down everything that seems cheesy and unself-aware, lest I am also tarred with that feather. So, like, I'm sort of wired, I'm oriented to want to make fun of anything that's earnest. And yet I listen to Adam Duritz sadly singing about recovering the satellites, and I'm just like, yeah, man, I get it. I feel it. Like, do you have anything that's like that for you? That's just like, you know that you can't really defend on paper, but it just works for you.
Well, I have a million things like that. The only difference is I think it's really hard for me to separate my own, even if the music itself is not self-aware, my own sort of self-awareness of it. Because, yeah, I mean, listen, you know, Wes Anderson might throw a Donovan song into one scene and it'll really work. And then maybe you'll hear that song and you'll think of that scene. But, like, Donovan has a very vast catalog. And the vast majority of that catalog is not good and not self-aware. And I feel bad saying that. And the stuff, even the stuff that I used to love. But that's the thing. Like, you know, when I pulled out all of my cassette tapes a few months ago when I found my cassette recorder or my cassette player, I was so excited. And what was one of the first things I put on was my Doors live albums. Now, there's no way that I would ever play that around anybody except for maybe my friend Allison, because we'd have fun and laugh and sing along with it. But, like, that is embarrassing shit. And you want to talk about not self-aware? Like,
never figured you for a Doors fan.
Yeah. Yeah. No. You know, me and the Lizard King, man, were like this. I mean, the Lizard King, man. Like, come on. But, like, when I'm by myself, like, yeah, I'll listen to that. But, you know, and I feel like almost my entire record collection is like that now. I mean, some of it does not stand the test of time. Like, my go-to used to be Four Non Blondes. If people were, like, kind of, you know, claiming that I'm trying to be too cool for school with some music, I'd be like, come on, man, I like Four Non Blondes. And it is true. Like, I used to love that full album, which is called Bigger, Better, Faster, More. The thing is, I still love What's Up, and I unironically love What's Up, but I do not think the rest of that album is at all listenable, and I kind of am embarrassed. Or the B-52s. I used to have the entire, like, thing. I still have the entire B-52s albums until, I don't know, like, the late 90s. And, like, speaking of satellites, recently, for some reason, an album I had by them called Bouncing Off the Satellites came back on my radar, as it were. And I'm like, oh, God, Bouncing Off the Satellites. Like, I'll bet you, God, I haven't heard that in forever. And, Luke, it is just embarrassing. Do you want to hear a little bit of Bouncing Off the Satellites?
Yes, I do. Here's what I think. Let me say this about the B-52s, because I used to have a record of theirs, the one that had Keish Lorraine on it. Because B-52s, I think the B-52s need to get credit for being the B-52s when they were doing this. In other words, they were making something that was kind of campy and kitschy and weird and outside the mainstream. Mm-hmm. Now it kind of feels silly. Like, it feels like your parents' humor. Like, oh my God, you're being so edgy when you're singing about, you know, Velvet Elvises or whatever. But back in the day, I do think that they were kind of like a weird post-punk, or maybe you could even say there was a certain punk element to what they were doing. So so I want to tip my cap to them. That being said, that guy yelling, you know, yelling in the background of a song and them saying tin roof rusted, there's right. very little that's less interesting to me at this point in my life. B-52s sound, they sound like Weird Al, like songs that Weird Al Yankovic didn't put on a record. Right. I feel like that mostly, although, you know what, I'll get down with Rome if you want to, Rome Across the World, I can get down with that. But wait, is that B-52s or is that actually yeah. R.E.M.
No.
with the woman from B-52s singing?
No, that's off the same album as Love Shack that you're referring to. And I still okay. stand
I like
by,
that song.
And that's pretty later on. Like, I think that's 89. Like, I still stand by their very first album, like 1979's, I think it's just called the B-52s, and that is like, you know, Rock Lobster and Planet Claire and just all kind of stuff that is 100% like kind of post-punk, new wave. I love that album. But along comes 1986, and there's an album called Bouncing Off the Satellites, and I loved this when I was young, and it takes itself so seriously. Now,
oh, really?
There's a song on here called Summer of Love. I think that's fine. That's your typical kind of B-52s singing about love. I'm in love with the love, love, love. But there is some bad shit on here, too. Like, here's one. Like, I think they're trying to be psychedelic. And when I was a kid, anything that was kind of trippy or outside the box, I liked. But then here's one called Detour Through Your Mind. I'm purposely picking the worst, what I think are the worst songs off this based on memory. But this is called Detour Through Your Mind. Buckle up, my buddy.
How are you tonight, Cliff?
Rock Lobster! I was just trying to help.
Your brain is an ever-changing kaleidoscope of moods.
Wait, why is Sean doing the voiceover for this song?
I have not heard this in decades since before I knew Sean DeTore. Is this part of his VO project, his voiceover project?
I take back everything that I said about them. The fact that they were able to get Sean.
I know.
Always 146.5, same as yesterday.
Okay, get all of your Sean DeTore drops and get ready to drop them over this, okay?
Yeah, make me a filet mignon. Or mignon.
Your brain is an ever-changing kaleidoscope of moods and colors. We walk to the park, but it's melting in the dark. All of a sudden, your mood changes, and your face looks like a cake left out in the rain. Is your name MacArthur Parker, or is it Reba?
This is like early Star Trek. They've landed on a planet that's trying to use music to take over everyone's brain. I can just see Shatner just like getting taken in by this music and Spock looking at him like,
yeah, and
this will be our undoing.
Even listen to this now. It's like the guitar and drums. I gotta say, it's just like it's. I used to listen to this so much, it's ingrained in me. Okay. Anyway, that's just one. And there's a bunch of songs kind of like that on here. There's a song called Communicate that is all about people needing to communicate better. It is, it's rough. So anyway, but would I listen to this by myself if Genevieve was gone or if I had my headphones on while playing Madden? Absolutely. Would it be the first time somebody played Madden 18 while listening to Bouncing Off the Satellites? Probably.
Well, see, it's cool when you can make a completely original experience.
Yeah.
That would be a one of a kind. Nothing that's happened before that or after it will ever be exactly like you listening to that song while playing Madden 18. So at least that would be kind of cool. All right, let's do a top story.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
I'm slightly confused by CNN's description of our top story today. The headline is, fans are upset over Maroon 5 Super Bowl halftime show report. And then in the body of the article, CNN writes that Variety, the magazine Variety, has reported, citing multiple sources, that the band Maroon 5 is set to be the big act for the NFL's biggest game, set for February 3rd. Now, I'm confused because, as we talk about a lot on this show, legally, only certain outlets are allowed to call the Super Bowl the Super Bowl in print or in their commercials. Other people, if you don't have the rights to use the Super Bowl is trademarked. If you don't have the rights to say Super Bowl, you have to say big game. But CNN is, they're journalistic, supposedly. They are. I think they're allowed to call it the Super Bowl. Why in the world would you call it the NFL's biggest game? Are you just trying to find a different way to say Super Bowl?
I think so. Yeah. Okay, in a news article, you can absolutely say that. I think somebody's getting paid by the word.
I mean, come on. So Variety reported that that Maroon 5 is going to be the Super Bowl halftime show. Then the NFL said it's a Super Bowl tradition to speculate about the performers for the Pepsi halftime show. Just slide in a little Pepsi reference.
Yeah, right there. God, now they're just like, yeah, why do you have to call it the Pepsi? It's a long tradition of trying to guess who's going to perform at the TurboTax halftime show.
Yeah, at the Tax Slayer.
Right.
At the TaxSlayer.com, GalleryFurniture.net, Insight Bowl. What? Apparently Pepsi is paying for... I think, to be honest with you, Pepsi has always paid. For a long time, Pepsi has sponsored the halftime show, for what that's worth.
Okay.
Anyway, the league rep said... Is there a statement that is more devoid of actual useful information and more about sponsorship than this statement I will read to you from the spokesperson for the Super Bowl? Or, sir, the spokesperson for the NFL, quote, "It's a Super Bowl tradition to speculate about the performance for the Pepsi halftime show," a league rep said. "We are continuing to work with our longtime sponsor, Pepsi, on our plans, but do not have any announcement to make on what will be another epic show." Fuck you.
You got Pepsi in there. Good job.
Twice.
Yeah.
They got it in there twice. "It's a Super Bowl tradition to speculate about the performers for the Pepsi halftime show. We are continuing to work with our longtime sponsor, Pepsi, on our plans, but do not have any announcements to make on what will be another epic show." That is, honestly, whoever uttered those words should just die. Like, that is the worst element of existence on this planet. You are a paid flack for the NFL. You are being paid to mention Pepsi in your statement about the probably what's going to be Maroon 5. And so you say nothing, but you do plug Pepsi twice, and then you end it by saying, "What will be another epic show?" You have uttered words that are completely meaningless and used 100% in the interest of commerce. Good for you. Apparently people are mad at the idea that it might be Maroon 5 because the Super Bowl is going to be in Atlanta. Of course, Atlanta, the home of many artists. By the way, this list that somebody tweeted out is an incomplete list. Outkast, T.I., Future, Ludacris, Usher, etc. I guess under etc. would be, isn't TLC from Atlanta? Who else? I feel like there are so many artists from Atlanta that would all be kind of entertaining. And is Missy Elliott? No, she's from Virginia, right?
I don't know where she's from. I believe the band I'm looking it up, but I believe the band Arrested Development is from Atlanta. Why are they not in the conversation?
Anyway, the internet's a small quarter of the internet is mad that you would consider bringing in Maroon 5 instead of one of the many artists from Atlanta. Jermaine Dupri comes to mind. Outkast, I think, is from
TLC
Atlanta.
From there, yeah.
So that's it. I think it'll probably be Maroon 5. I think they're just trying to drag this out as long as they can. I'm not anti-Maroon 5. Carrie once said, I thought, kind of a sage thing about the guy who...
That's my wife.
Adam Levine, who's the lead singer of Maroon 5. She said he's like the most unconfident guy who theoretically should be confident.
Oh, yeah?
Like, because he's one of the judges on The Voice. And, I mean, Adam Levine appears... By all sort of outward indicators, he really has the world on a string. He's in a very successful band. He's obviously a talented guy. He's a handsome individual. He's well compensated, and yet he constantly says things when he's doing his judging of The Voice that sort of indicate, like, he's always trying to. He's like that person that shows up for the first day of school with a new thing every year. Like, oh, I went to England over the break, and now I talk. I can't remember the word for the trunk. I keep calling it the
boot.
I keep calling it the boot.
No, isn't it the boot? You're right.
No, you are right. I was mixing up elevator and the trunk of a car. Like, and then the next year he comes back and he's like dyed his hair blonde. And then the next year, like on the first day, he's always I'm going to wear Hawaiian shirts this year. No, nothing wrong with that. And you and I have both talked about trying to reinvent ourselves at various times. But it's just – I guess what it really gets to with Adam Levine is it is very – how do I put this? It just shows how illogical insecurity is because Adam Levine should be, by all accounts, a really secure guy. And he comes off as somebody who's still trying to find his identity, even though he is Adam Levine from Maroon 5.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really have a huge problem with their music. I will actually find myself when I'm listening to like regular commercial radio, which I've kind of started doing again. I cycle in and out of that. Where I just, like, for some reason get kind of into whatever the pop music of the day is. I'll hear a lot of songs, and I'll be like, it's kind of a jam. And then they'll be like, Maroon 5 on K-Bay. So I'm not anti-Maroon 5. I don't have a strong opinion on if they play the Super Bowl or not. Is it disrespectful, though, to artism? Is it disrespectful to all of the artists from Atlanta, or at least who kind of made their name in Atlanta, to have Maroon 5 from, I believe, the Valley outside of Los Angeles? That's where those guys hail from. Is it disrespectful to have them play the Super Bowl when it's in Atlanta?
Oh, I don't – well, see, that question – I don't know that the Super Bowl's ever really – that they're ever trying to pull talent from the local area, right? Now, I understand you're saying, like, but you're going to Atlanta. Right. It's such a hotbed of, you know, it's got its own musical culture and, you know, style of music, you know, Southern hip hop. That's the birthplace of a style of music. I guess, like, if there was a way to have the Super Bowl in Tennessee, or I'm sorry, Nashville, Tennessee, you know, would you bring in Lady Gaga, you know, or would you try to tap into the roots? But I got to say, I'm looking at a list of the past Super Bowls. I don't think they ever really try to make a nod to doing local. I mean, it would be cool if they did, but I don't – to say it's disrespectful, I think, is a little bit over the top. I think people don't like Maroon 5. I don't really know Maroon 5. I'm looking at a list of their top 10 songs here. I don't think I know any of them. I'll bet you I've heard them before, and I'm just not recognizing. But it is really the type of music – for me personally, like, I don't have a beef or a grudge or whatever – for me, none of it is as good as bouncing off the satellites. Now, it all just kind of sounds alike to me. Like somebody on the radio said, oh, it's going to be Maroon 5, and they played a bit of Moves Like Jagger. And I heard them singing that. For some reason, I always thought that was a Kesha song. Like, that's how far out of the loop. Like, I think they were really kind of big during an era that I – or they were maybe peaking during an era that I especially wasn't listening to them.
No, they remain hugely popular.
Are they just – I mean, is this still their peak?
I think that they're definitely still operating at a very popular level.
Okay.
Like I just – the other day there was some song that I didn't recognize. And again, I was tapping my feet and it was like, that's Maroon 5. Like I think Maroon 5 at this point reliably – because obviously Adam Levine and whoever he works with – and the band members of Maroon 5, they have dialed in like a pop sensibility that is, I think, very winning with the American public. I just look at this. I'm with you, by the way. And I went to the Super Bowl in Detroit, which I weaseled my way into covering that for NPR. And you're in Detroit, right? Who was the halftime show? The Rolling Stones.
Right.
And this is when – this is like when Aretha Franklin was very much alive.
Yeah.
This is when, you know, many of the sort of stars of Motown were still alive and kicking. Like you could – I mean, to do it in Detroit and not have it be a Motown-themed thing, you're right. If there was ever a place where they were going to try to nod to the local musical culture, that would be an obvious one. They didn't do that. I would love it if this year they announced we're in Atlanta, and so the halftime show is going to be Ying Yang Twins and the Indigo Girls. Now that's a halftime show that I could get behind.
I will say something, and this is going to be something that I say that's going to make me glad that I'm not on Facebook anymore, because I could see somebody taking this the wrong way, and I don't mean it the wrong way. Keep in mind, most of the music that I listened to and really kind of cut my musical teeth on as a fan was stuff that was of the Rolling Stones, Beatles, The Who, Led Zeppelin, all that stuff. So that stuff has a huge place in my heart, even the Tom Petty's, you know. I remember for a while there, it was just like all they were doing was just like, well, can we get Mick Jagger again? Can we get the Rolling Stones again? Can we get – who's the poor man's Rolling Stones? Like it just felt like they were just going with all these boomer era acts. Peace and love to the boomers. But they have basically – I'm looking back at a list of
– Peace and love.
And that's an especially appropriate use of that there. It seems like really since like 2000 – It really seems like, so the Who performed in 2010, and then after that, it was all more modern stuff. And I'm glad that they're trying to keep up with the times a little bit and not just going back to the same well of that stuff. Like, it was, after the Who, you had in 2011, Black Eyed Peas, and then Madonna and a whole bunch of people, and then Beyonce Destiny's Child in 2013, Bruno Mars. Oh, and then Katy Perry, that was 2015. That was the year the Seahawks won, right? 2015 was our year. And that was also, I mean, America won. For me, with a possible, with the, I guess, obvious exception of Prince, who I don't think I saw live during that Super Bowl, but I've certainly watched that. I think almost everybody agrees that the Prince halftime show is probably the best halftime show ever, especially there's a little mini documentary about it online, like 5 minutes or something, about like how they were worried the rain was going to shut the whole thing down. And Prince was just like, oh, I'll just play my guitar. Chill out.
Well, you know what he actually said, though, right?
I can't remember the quote. I just remember the broad strokes.
It's a famous line that I actually want to – I want to try to channel this when I'm facing some kind of a hardship when it comes to my little life of doing performing kind of jobs. The story goes, it's starting to rain, and they're freaking out because, you know, Prince is Prince, and you could see him just being like, I'm out of here or whatever. Instead, so they come back and they're very nervous, and they go, we want to let you know it's starting to rain, and he looks at them and says, can you make it rain harder?
Oh, that's right. Right.
And he proceeds to go out and play a really cool show, and he plays Purple Rain, and it's raining.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it on TV, not, of course, not knowing any of the backstory, just watching and just being like, oh, my God. Like, this is – something is happening. This is the opposite of that NFL spokesperson saying, oh, we don't know who's going to play the Pepsi halftime show.
Right.
But we're going to work with Pepsi to make another epic show. Whatever the opposite of that, whatever the most actually entertainment-filled moment you can create, to me was Prince playing Purple Rain during that halftime show.
Yeah, and so I don't remember that one, like, watching it live. I probably wasn't watching football then. But I think that, at least in the modern era, people would say that that's, like, the most iconic, that's the pinnacle of halftime shows. But after that, I got to say, man, that Katy Perry show, and it wasn't just because the Seahawks were in the Super Bowl. For some reason, that just checked all my boxes. Like, I'm not a huge Katy Perry fan, so I guess it didn't check
left
that.
Left Shark.
But you had
that was famously
the whole,
Left
yes.
Shark.
I mean, just for starters, just the whole, like, set design of everything and her, like, bright poppy outfits against these kind of ridiculous backgrounds. And then her dancing with these two sharks. And then this whole thing of Left Shark Left Shark just doing Left Shark's own thing. Like, I love that. I've gone back and rewatched that many times. That is a great halftime performance.
When I went back and actually looked, I was so just probably freaking out about the Seahawk component of that game. I didn't pay enough attention to Left Shark. And then when I went back and watched it after I heard all, I didn't think Left Shark was that bad.
I think it was one of those things that got amplified in the days after.
Yeah, because I heard about it, like, and then I went, I was excited to go, like, see, oh my God, this must have been madness. Like, this shark must have been completely and totally on a different wavelength. And I was like, maybe because I once tried to dance like a mouse in the Nutcracker and it was pretty bad. I was like, I thought Left Shark did okay. but yeah, just, you're right. There were a lot of fun side stories around that particular performance, the Katy Perry one. I also wonder if, I could be overthinking this, but the fact that the NFL, to some degree, I don't think that they wanted to do this, but I think that they've found themselves in this position where there is, how do I put this? Because of the Colin Kaepernick stuff, and because the NFL is, I think, really grappling with what its relationship to its African-American fan base is, considering that, you know, the vast majority of the players are African-American, and you have, like, I just think the NFL is in a really complicated place, and I wonder if any of that manifests in the halftime shows they pick.
That's interesting. I'm also watching Left Shark here, so I'm slightly distracted by that. You think, like, just trying to – well, I mean, I know that they think a lot about bringing in younger people and bringing in women to watch the show. You think how do you think?
Well, one of the things I'm wondering is, I guess it's like sort of almost the reverse of what I'm talking about. There's a certain kind of MAGA dude, and I don't know if these people are statistically significant or not. I tend to think they're not, but like I talk about this place that like sells heavy equipment by where Carrie's family lives, and they have a big sign that just says like, be a patriot, boycott the NFL or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you know this guy who runs it, and believe me, it's a white guy. I know it. You know that that dude 5 years ago was probably like, I'm a 12. Because football has gone from being this uber manly, uber redneck, uber like, you know, we're American and we believe in football and whatever, to now because the current presidential administration has cast them as like the bad guys, and it's someone for him to fight with, and this league, the people in the league, primarily African American players, are an easy target for him to create a race and culture war over and with. There's a certain kind of MAGA guy who's like burning his Nikes and not watching football anymore, and I'm wondering if the NFL is like, well, shit, we can't put the Yin Yang Twins in there now.
I see what you're saying. Okay,
like we need to have like, although I guess a full expression of that would be like, oh, we're going to have Hank Williams Jr. do the halftime show.
Right.
So Maroon 5's not quite there. Like, I guess my theory would have more would have more heft to it if they were having, like, you know, Brooks and Dunn play the if they had that, I'd be like, okay, they're definitely trying to get back their MAGA fans. I don't think Maroon 5 is – I don't think the Venn diagram of their MAGA – their former fans who are MAGA people – are not going to be brought back by Maroon 5. So I posed a theory and then I shot down my own theory within the same 4 minutes.
Can I say, though, that you're kind of – well, you're not really saying this, but a different point to bring up is the fact that I do feel like they're trying too hard these days to jam the ticket full of performers. And, you know, I'm looking back, like Katy Perry, she definitely was the star of the show. Yes, Lenny Kravitz had an appearance, and yes, Missy Elliott did. And that was good. Like they seemed like surprises. I don't know if we knew in advance, but to me it was a surprise. And they did a little part inside of this very obviously choreographed thing that was very much a Katy Perry show. And then, you know, but then was it, I guess it was, I'm looking at the list here. I guess it was next year. And, you know, that was the Beyonce year in 2016. Right. And Beyonce is great, and that was an amazing performance. But it also started with Coldplay, and I'm looking here. It was Coldplay, Beyonce, Bruno Mars, Mark Ronson, Gustavo Dudamel. He's the
director of the L.A. film.
Yeah. And then the they always have a marching band. So anyway, like to me, that one was like the Beyonce part was good and strong, but it was so watered down by trying to check off Coldplay and Bruno Mars, getting them in there too. Like that's not like that didn't seem cohesive to me at all. Looking at the list, they then did just Lady Gaga the next year, which I have no recollection of. I don't even know. What was the 2017 Super
Bowl? I remember her doing, I think, this fake jump off the side of the stadium. I don't mean the jump was fake, like it was pre-recorded. So it was like a cut to like a camera shot of her standing up on the roof of the stadium and then or like near the roof being like, let's go. And then she like dives. Obviously she has wires on or something. She dives off the side of the roof and then it's like cuts to her showing up on the stage. But I remember just being like, well, definitely that part of the package was pre-recorded. That was my only memory of the whole thing.
Oh, you know, yeah, you know what? This was the Atlanta Super Bowl, the Patriots Atlanta Super Bowl, which I was in the sky for a bunch of it, and then we landed in Costa Rica.
Coming back from
Secrets. No, we were getting
you're
too
on
secrets.
Your way to Secrets.
Yeah, so we landed, and then we went, and then we're like, oh, there's a big Super Bowl party somewhere, like in the resort, and so we went and watched like the second half. But yeah, we never saw the halftime show there. Anyway, so I didn't see that. I don't know if it was any good. It looks like, I guess last year was Justin Timberlake. I, again, have no recollection. Maybe
I thought the
outside.
Justin Timberlake one was catchy, but it got really bad reviews as being just kind of pointless or just kind of pablum.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was fine. I dig that Got Some Sunshine in My Pocket song. Like, I just can't stop the feeling. Like, when that song's on, I honestly am kind of I feel happy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm happy of myself. Okay, well, listen. They've decided on what they've decided on. Whether it's Maroon 5 or whoever it is, there's probably no changing it now. But I would just like to, subtly suggest next time they come through Atlanta, a co-bill of Dem Franchise Boys and Sugarland. Okay.
It just seems so obvious, though. I think what they're trying to do is like shine a spotlight on, you know, other artists.
I would love it. I'm just trying to find combinations of the weirdest. Like, how about Deer Hunter and Crisscross?
Oh my, Crisscross is from there,
of course. And Deer Hunter is from there.
I did not know Deer Hunter was from there, but yeah, that would be interesting. Certainly.
How about Seven Dust playing with Another Bad Creation?
ABC. BBD, the East Coast family.
The East Coast family. All right. I guess we'll see what happens. It's probably going to be Maroon 5, though. And so I'll watch it with excitement. The nice thing about Super Bowl this year is I think I'll be able to really put the attention towards the halftime show that it deserves, because there's no danger of the Seahawks being in the Super Bowl. So I'll be able to focus on the important things like the commercials and the Super Bowl, the halftime performance.
Do you think,
here we go with,
do you think ever in our life there will be a Browns Seahawks Super Bowl? And if so, are we going to explode?
So the Browns are in the AFC.
Yeah, AFC North.
Wow. I think the Browns will be in the Super Bowl before the Seahawks are. Now, the big question to me is, could the Seahawks cycle back into relevance while
before
the Browns are still good?
Yeah, and before the league collapses under its own weight?
Good question. There's multiple factors. There's like the Browns are on the upswing, I think. So the Browns are more likely to be there in the next, say, five seasons. Seahawks, it would take a real miracle. It might take 10 seasons for the Seahawks to be that good again. Maybe the Browns will be cycled back through being really good. But then will the NFL exist?
Right. It'll be like a flag football league where everybody stands or kneels.
And where all the quarterbacks are mid-50s coaches who never played organized football. But right. Weirdly effective. I'd watch that.
All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Let's go with some emails.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week, I hope that it's from a female. Oh, man. It's not from a female.
It's Thursday, so I believe we have some Blursday messages we need to people with.
We are going to be showering them with Blursday.
There's a right way to rock and a wrong way to roll. You can't just listen to your soul. Just remember that life is number one. You can be having so much fun. Just remember that life is much fun. You can be number one.
Nice.
There it is.
Kristen from Portland says, Sunday is my 40th birthday. I'd love a shout out from my wireless earbuds. I don't know if she's saying we are her wireless earbuds. Like, hey, we're earbuds. Right. Or if she wants to hear them, this emanating from her wireless earbuds. Anyway, she says, thanks for being my co-bros and companions. Catherine says, happy Blursday to my twin sister and TBTL daughter, Juliet. Gets complicated.
Hey, yeah. That would mean that. So she introduced her twin sister to TBTL.
Yeah, and now we have Catherine and Juliet both listening. I believe they are, or one of them is in the Portland area. Anyway, I don't like sharing many things with you, she says to her sister, but TBTL is one of them. Much love on your 23rd. Look at that. Young people.
Happy birthday.
Young people listening to TBTL.
One young person, one
just
time.
One time. Laura says, happy Blursday to my mother, Sue. Hopefully we can make it to next year's TBTL live event. Are we doing any live events next year, Luke?
Probably.
Okay. Kelly
says, Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise.
Kelly says, happy birthday to John in Richmond, Virginia, who at 33 years has already perfected the art of being a grumpy old man. John, you and I could teach a class, my friend. Of course, now I'm just a grumpy old man in real life. Kelly says, I want to wish... Is everybody Kelly? How many Kelly? Oh, no, just two Kellys. I want to wish a happy Blursday to Kristen, who's a great internet friend. I hope we find the time eventually to get to get some soup dumplings and become real friends, IRL, in the very near future. Perfect.
That's the sound of not letting the soup dumpling cool. If you just slurp that right down. If you don't tear a hole in the side and let the steam out.
Oh, gotta wait. I know you're hungry, but you gotta wait. It's going to ruin the rest of your meal. Lisa wants to wish a happy Blursday to her dear friend, Eric. She says, we've been friends for over 14 years, and he introduced me to TBTL, for which I'm forever grateful, and I shall not use the forbidden phrase. Nice. He's kind, intelligent, and has an incredible storytelling skill that makes people want to listen to anything he's saying. Don't start a podcast, Eric, because I can't use that kind of competition.
No, it's already... The pool is full.
Yes. I don't need people who actually can tell stories.
BuzzFeed apparently announced that they... I didn't know this, but they had a podcasting division, and they disbanded their podcasting division.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah.
Here are you and I, like Hunger Games. Yep. Oh, no, did I lose
music? And then there were two.
Music. Let's get this going again. Two more here. I'd like to give a Blursday shout-out to my daughter, Sophie. She's turning one on Saturday.
Aww.
She's a frequent, unwitting listener, often with her mom, while trying to get caught up with the show and listening at double speed. There's no indication if this practice has any long-term damaging effects.
Oh, it does.
It does.
It definitely does.
Okay, here's one last one. A very, very special one, by the way. This is from somebody who says she's Becky with the good hair. So you're Becky the good hair. Says happy.
Interesting that you would be ready to come out with that here. I mean, I feel like
I know.
Well, we've all been wondering for years now.
You almost broke up a really great relationship, Becky with the good hair. She says, happy Blursday to my mom, Lynn. She would have been 74 on Saturday.
Aww.
And this is our first Blursday without her. We're throwing her a party at Casa de Bandini, where she always went to celebrate her clean scans. I missed her the most during the confirmation hearings recently because we would have swooned over Cory Booker together. I never managed to make her attend, but I talked about you guys all the time. Miss you much, Mom, but I know you will be at the party in spirit.
Aww.
That's nice.
I wonder if is this listener checking in from San Diego?
I'm not looking, sure.
I looked up Casa de Bandini, and I noticed that there was one in Carlsbad. So I'm sorry. We're sorry for your loss. That's got to be really, really tough.
But that's nice what I you're doing, somebody, getting together with everybody in the place where you guys used to go to celebrate when she would come back, I assume, from the doctor with, the clean results. That's really nice, and I think that's a good way to honor somebody.
Grief is a weird thing. I saw somebody writing – actually, it was John Ritter's kid was writing on Twitter the other day that grief is odd because it's sort of like – it just – I'm paraphrasing here, but it basically, when you lose someone or when you go through something really hard, grief is sort of like really overwhelming and intense, and then it eventually lets up, and you think, oh, God, thank you. Now I can kind of go back to my life. And then, you know, a month or a day or a week or at some random point when you least expect it, grief is like, badow, guess who's still here? Me. And then you feel really shitty again. And I personally have had that experience with some people that I've lost, and it's a very tough thing. I'm not telling anybody who's been through it something they don't know, but anyway, I just want to say to that listener, we're really sorry for you, and I hope that you have a good time at Casa de Bandini.
Yes.
I want to figure out where that is, and I want to go there now because that's a great name for a Mexican restaurant. Let's see here. What are the chances of Tim Heidecker getting to play the Super Bowl halftime show just on his bass?
Wow. I would say relatively good. Yeah. I mean, I think that what would have to happen would be you and I would have to somehow wrest control of the Super Bowl halftime show.
Here's what we have to do. And this is going to take a lot of work, but I'm willing to do it if you are. Okay, first thing, we get we have to become extremely rich.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's we have easy. To buy up all of the NFL franchises.
Okay.
Then we fire Roger Goodell because we have now, we own all of the NFL franchises, and Roger Goodell effectively works for the owners.
And okay. There's only two owners now. There's only two owners in all of football, and it's you and me.
Yeah.
Are we splitting up the teams? Are you owning some teams and I'm owning the other half? Or are you and I co-owners?
We're taking all of the best players. No, I own half the league. You own half the league.
Okay.
I own the Seahawks and every other team that comprises half of the NFL. You own the Browns and every other the other half of the teams. And then what we do is we take all the best players and we put them on our respective teams. So there are only two teams left in the NFL, the Browns and the Seahawks, and we get all the best players from our half.
Okay.
We do a pick. We line them up on the schoolyard, and I go, okay, Todd Gurley the third, you're on my team now. And then you get to pick. We get to stock our teams,
okay.
And then those two teams play 16 times a year.
Wow. Okay. So they just play
against each other.
Now, what do we do about the fact that we're going to lose some revenue? I know that we're independently wealthy at this point, but we're going to lose some revenue because right now the model is based on the fact that there's going to be what? Eight? No, I'm sorry. How many games are there a weekend? 16 or eight?
Well,
16.
Whatever the amount of teams.
So that's a lot. And that's where you get a lot of your advertising revenue and all of that. Now,
yeah,
we're down to
one game is going to be so popular.
Really? It's going to be a 100% market share?
Yeah, everybody will have to tune in because it'll be the only game in town if you think about it.
Can we buy all of the other stations on Sundays and just run like the national anthem so that the only thing that people can watch is our game.
And we're going to take all the players and we're going to strap them onto a wheel, like a wheelie thing like Hannibal Lecter, and we're going to make them stand for the anthem, which will get back. It'll get back that one guy in Cedro Woolley at the equipment rental place.
Right, good.
So So are you with me so far?
So far it's kind of obvious. Go ahead.
Okay, so now we own all of the teams, but now we've just combined them into two teams. They play every week.
Mm-hmm.
That means we get to choose what the entertainment is for the halftime of the Super Bowl. And for that, we pick Tim Heidecker. 30-minute bass solo.
Nothing else. We're going to be tempted to want to spice it up a little bit with a little guest appearance here or there. I think we need to remember this conversation and be strong. Like, no, maybe can one
person play a
very, very basic, it could be Tim or Ringo or whoever, but a very basic little drum in the background just to keep the bass steady. Or we could just use your machine. That'll...
Yeah.
Save us some overhead right
sound
there.
Sound machine.
Yeah, so, okay. All right,
we'll do the sound machine. And then the other thing is that the new official football food for watching football games will be baked ziti.
With ridged chips. No, what it'll be,
ridged chips.
It'll be a new food we'll create, which will be bean dip with meatballs inside of it. It's the compromise of 2019 is what they'll call it.
Well, you know what? People didn't think the NFL could be saved, but I think we've just laid out a very clear plan for saving football. All right, my friend. You've got Papa Murphy's to purloin. Does purloin mean steal or just get? I think just get,
but I don't know. Here's the deal. I got some strong opinions. Well, I got one strong opinion, which is what is it?
Steal.
Oh, just steal.
Wow, so you're going to steal Papa Murphy's pizza?
I guess so.
Purloin.
This has just gotten more complicated.
well, that's how you're going to start building your financial empire in order to buy that all the NFL teams.
Yeah.
Purloining pizza from Papa Murphy's. I know that was a lot of peas, dude.
I do not want the Ravens, and I do not want the Steelers. I would like you to take them, please.
I'm already hemorrhaging fantasy points by not playing Ben Roethlisberger. So now I gotta have the Steelers on.
I'll take the Bengals. Right. They're practically the Browns anyway. All right. So I was talking about the B-52s bouncing off the satellites before, and purposely picked one of the.
I didn't hate that song by the way.
I know,
as much
it wasn't as bad
as I was expecting.
There are some other
exactly
ones
like,
though that I could have played. Right. I mean, trust me.
Okay.
Anyway,
okay, I believe you.
What I want to do is go out with one that I love off of their first album. So how about we go out with 52 Girls, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
And then for a show title, I tried to write down Saddam Duritz, but guess what that looks like? Saddam.
Saddam Duritz?
Yeah, which I don't know if that's a good show title. In fact, I'm going to go on a limb and say it's not a good show title.
What about recovering the satellites, as in?
Yes, okay, that sounds perfect.
Sad.
That sounds perfect.
Okay, so I'm going to get this song going. You ready to go here?
Okay. That's it, man. Thank you for listening, everybody. Have a great Thursday. We'll be right back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio for you. Until then, go Mariners, go eat a bagel, go Browns. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Out.